second hour, Darren, Donick, and Jace here on this gorgeous Thursday here in Middle Tennessee. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe with you. Wow, what a way to start this hour. What a treat. Tony Dungy on the line with us. We've always enjoyed our chats with him over the years. He now joins us, of course, Sunday Night Football, NBC, the national stage. The Titans will be out in L.A. to take on the Rams. And Coach Dungy now joins us. Tony, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. Doing great. Thank you.
Thanks for doing this. We're excited here in Nashville about the big Sunday night tilt, a heavyweight bout between the Rams and the Titans. Of course, we would be just a little bit more excited if 22 was going to be in the backfield. But you know this as a coach. Life in the NFL, bodies drop. And unfortunately, it was, it's a guy like Derrick Henry that's so vitally important to the Titans. Now they're going to have to overcome him the rest of the regular season. I'm sure you dealt with this as a player and a coach. How do you deal with it in the room?
Yeah, you do. It's part of the landscape of the NFL. And I can tell you during our Super Bowl year when I was in Indianapolis, we had several, key injuries. And how are you going to restructure things? Who's going to have to step up? What do you change? Those are things that I'm sure the Titans have discussed. But I'll have to say, I can't remember one in my lifetime like this. I was trying to think and rack my brain, and I'd have to go back to Earl Campbell to think of somebody who had such an impact, other than a quarterback, who had that type of impact on an offense, really the centerpiece and what everything is built around, the way Derek is. So it'll be an adjustment. But I'll tell you what, the Titans are resilient. They have a belief in themselves, just the way they've won games recently with the comebacks and, winning in different ways. I think that if anybody can overcome this, they can. And then I think Coach Vrabel, his attitude is that, hey, we'll make a way, we'll find a way, and other people will step up.
Tony, on this show, we've been, and maybe we're too close to the forest, and maybe that's why I'm going to ask you this question, because I want to get an outsider's perspective. We've been beating the drum that Derrick Henry should be absolutely right in the middle of the talk for NFL MVP. We know it seems like it always goes to quarterbacks, but this guy deserves to be in the discussion. Now, this is obviously pre-injury. And so with that being said, because part of my point was he's just as valuable to the Titans as, Aaron Rodgers is to the Packers, or Russell Wilson is to Seattle, Tom Brady is to Tampa, the franchise elite quarterbacks. He's that important to them. Now, we're about to find out if I'm too close to the forest to see the trees and I'm just beating the local drum, or, unfortunately, Derrick Henry does mean that much to the Titans. So with that being said, how did you view him in your mind? Because I kind of viewed him as a generational type running back.
Oh, he absolutely is that. And I do think I'm one of the MVP voters. And had he continued on the way he was playing the first half of the season, I absolutely would have considered voting for him. And if we had to vote right now, I would vote for him, because he has been the centerpiece. Everybody comes in to play the Titans knowing they have to stop Derrick Henry. We had a piece on our show where Drew Brees and Chris Sims showed how A.J. Brown and the other receivers benefit, because every time you stick the ball out, as Ryan Tannehill sticks the ball out, eight people attack the line of scrimmage. And I said, if I was a receiver with any kind of talent, that's where I'd want to go, to Tennessee, because I don't have to read coverages. I don't have to worry about a safety helping out on me. If I can beat my man, I can get open, because that's all I have to do. So I think he has had more impact on his team than anybody in the league right now. And to me, that's the definition of what you're looking for, MVP. I voted for Bobby Wagner several years ago, and I think it was the only vote he's ever gotten, but I thought he was that important to a great defense. I think that Derek is that important to a really, really fine offense.
Coach, I'm going to step away from this game for just a moment. I know these guys will come back to this game, but I do want to just ask you, as a coach, to put your coach hat on, because I think after this Sunday night, you guys go to, I think, Las Vegas. I think that's the next Sunday night game.
Las Vegas, Kansas City, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Chiefs and the Raiders. So with what just happened, And I said this at the beginning of the show, and I think, unfortunately, and I hope I'm wrong, but unfortunately, as Vegas continues to grow as a professional sports town, and probably they're going to keep adding. My guess is there'll be a four sports town, you know, mm-hmm. within the next 5 to 10 years. But with that being said, to ask these young adults, a lot of them coming from, you know, small towns, and then you give them gobs of money, and you put them on the Vegas Strip, and you ask them to grow up immediately. I just think that's, for some, it's going to be an impossible task because not everybody's mature beyond their years, and you may see more like this because Vegas is a unique market. If you were a head coach in Vegas, how would you handle that element, that part of it, the nightlife in the market that you're the coach and where your players play in?
It's difficult because you do have to talk about that, and I promise you, I talked about it constantly, and I was in small marketplaces, Tampa and Indianapolis, but you still talk about it, and I would have talked about it more had I been in New York or Philadelphia or Los Angeles, but there you have to talk about it constantly because you've got a place that's open 24 hours, and especially when you have them off of their normal schedule. When I've got 7 a.m. weightlifting and 8 a.m. team meeting, it's hard to stay out until 4. But if I don't have that for a few days because of a bye week or because we played a Thursday game, that would always be in the back of my mind. Young people, I know what it's like to be 20, 21 years old, 22 years old, and you think you can go, you want to be involved in that, and that draw is out there. But, yes, if you're there, you're coaching there, and I've actually had some conversations with Rich Bisaccia before this even happened, when Rich took over. What do you want to emphasize as a head coach? What's important? Who are we going to be, and how are you going to impact these young men's lives? And that is something that you're going to have to address there. All coaches have to address it, but especially there.
Tony Dungy is with us from NBC Sports. We're previewing the Titans and the Rams coming up this weekend. And, Tony, I always love hearing your perspective on game planning. And I'm really curious now, the Rams, of course, have an elite defense going in, but game planning for the Titans will be completely different without Derrick Henry. So what do you think you do when you're not exactly sure how the Titans are going to try to put this together without their main guy?
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting. And the question, if I were the Rams, how quickly can Adrian Peterson get acclimated? And will we see the same types of things? And will they run Adrian 15 times? And that's the one thing about this offense. You really can plug him in and do what Derrick Henry did, because for a lot of running backs coming in new, I've got to learn pass protections. I'm in different formations and audibles. Well, here I'm either getting the ball running to a certain hole or you're faking the ball to me. I can do that on first and second down. So Adrian could theoretically play and they could still have the same type of attack. Now, it's not going to be as effective. Adrian Peterson's not going to go out there and gain 200 yards like Derrick Henry might have. But they could do the same thing. So they could come in with the same game plan, or they could say, you know what, we just don't have that threat. We're not confident that our backup backs can do that, so let's do something different. Let's throw the ball. Let's put it in Ryan Tannehill's hands, and we'll have more read options and naked things for him to get out on the outside, drop back passing game. So what are they going to have? And you might have to work on two different game plans as the Rams defensive coordinator. So it actually is maybe not as much of a hindrance to the Titans as people would think, because it's going to put the Rams a little bit behind the eight ball.
What would you expect from Adrian Peterson? I think it's an interesting situation. We've seen some guys in a lot of sports sort of in that last hurrah. They have their best. But at his age, you've seen sort of the arc of his career. What do you think is reasonable, and how would you go about it if you're Mike Vrabel, your expectation level?
Well, you know, Adrian is a unique guy. I know he's been working. He works out like a bandit anyway. So I wouldn't be concerned about that. He's fresh. He hasn't had those 150 carries. I would think that he could come in and carry the ball 12 to 15 times and pound it out, and we'll see what happens. If I were Mike Vrabel, that's what I'd want. I'd say, hey, give me about 3 carries a quarter, and you're going to be a threat. We're going to give you the ball three or four times each quarter. We're going to fake it to you 3 or 4 times. And if I can get that from him as he gets his legs under him, that'll be good. And I think Adrian can deliver that. I really do.
We're talking to Tony Dungy of NBC Sports, also a legendary football coach. And so you mentioned Ryan Tannehill earlier, and I think if anyone still has doubts about Ryan Tannehill, it has been, can he put the team on his back without 22? So the realistic expectations for him to carry this team, knowing that he has one of the best receivers in the game in A.J. Brown, and who knows what he could have in Julio Jones if he's healthy, what do you think about Tannehill's chances to go to another level?
Well, I think he may have to, and he's done it some this year. They've been behind in some games, and it hasn't been just, hey, we've gotten ahead, we've thrown some play-action passes, our defense has gotten the ball for us, and then, we kind of coast in. He's had to bring them back, and they've done that several times, so I think the team is going to feel good about it. And I think Ryan, I know he's ready for the challenge. Hey, we lost our big gun. But we still have to win. So what do we have to do? What do I need to do? And I think he's going to be ready to take that challenge, and I think you're going to see some explosive play from that passing game.
Defensively for the Titans, Kevin Byard just named the AFC Defensive Player of the Month. He seems to have returned to form that we saw a few years ago, you know, that got him that big contract. But as you kind of look at this game and study up on the Titans, what are some things that you've seen differently that they've done defensively led by Byard?
They're playing well, and they play aggressive football. They fly around, and, you know, you always kind of knew that you were going to have that time of possession edge. Your offense was going to run the clock and pound it out. Now things might be a little different for them, but this is going to be a big challenge this week. The Rams are playing really good offensive football, and they've got an attack that you don't see a lot. It's the wide running game, the play action passes that come off it, the misdirection run. You really have to play really sharp, sound assignment football, and that's what I think will win it for the Titans if they're able to get that. You can't just, oh, we're going to be aggressive and we're going to be physical and we're going to out-muscle these guys. Yes, you have to do that, but they test your assignments. You've got to stay home on the backside when you're supposed to. You can't peek in the backfield on the play-action passes. You've got to do your job, and I think Kevin and that group will, I think they'll rise to the occasion.
I did want to ask you about Julio Jones because, you know, coming in here, his first year here, a lot surrounding him, obviously one of the best receivers in the game, future Hall of Famer, but a lot comes with that, as you know. So as a coach, how do you handle a player like that, especially right now when, you know, his health has kind of been an issue? That was an issue at the end in Atlanta, not getting him on the field. You know, there are times that, you know, Mike Vrabel's asked about him, and you know this as a coach, there's a little frustration of, I can't give you an answer because I don't know. You know, what his health is. So how did you handle situations like that, and how would you handle Julio?
Well, there's really, really high expectations, but you've got a talented guy. And the one thing I know about Julio from the time that I've been around him and interviewing him, he is very, very unselfish. He wants to win, and I think he's Mike's type of guy in that regard. So you know you've got that. You don't have a prima donna. You don't have a real selfish guy. Now, how can I get the best out of him? How can I get the most out of him? And for these guys, a lot of times it's just the moment. And so we're looking for Julio to be that Julio Jones and have 8-10 catches every game and go for 100 yards. Well, it's not that type of offense. So you've got to tailor the expectations a little bit, but what you want is those big plays in the right moments. And that's what I'd be saying to him. Hey, you know, we're going to take it easy. We're going to get you ready. We're going to make sure you're healthy. But in those moments when we need you, that's when you've got to step up. And that's the way I'd kind of be looking at it. And you can't, the fans don't want to hear that. But if he makes a couple of catches Sunday night at the right time that really make a difference in the game, I know the Titans will be happy, and that's what I'd be looking for as a coach.
As we let you go, I've always said if I got a chance to interview you, I was going to ask you about this. But back in 2006 here in Nashville, the Colts and the Titans, and Rob Baronis hits a 60-yard field goal. Just the coaching battle between you and Jeff Fisher and timeouts, I think, is one of my favorite parts of that game. Of, you know, he sends the field goal team on, and then there's a timeout and the punt team.
Yeah, we overreacted. One of our guys called timeout because they weren't ready. We should have just waited, and they would have allowed us to substitute. They wouldn't have allowed the Titans to snap the ball. They probably would have punted. When we took our last timeout, Jeff said, well, I can go ahead and try this field goal because they won't have a timeout to get the ball in position. So, yeah, we hurt ourselves, and that was a very smart play on his part.
You guys do a tremendous job on Sunday Night Football. I look forward to it every week, you and Tirico, and now the addition of Drew Brees. And I hope you guys gave Rodney Harrison just grief about the umbrella incident, because we had fun on the show about it, but I hope you guys gave it to him, because that was
we absolutely did. And I think last Sunday they actually had, you know, we're doing the Halloween spoof, and they had the invisible hand like the monster holding an umbrella.
That's tremendous. Hey,
so that was a shout out to Rodney. Yeah.
Always good to talk to you. Thanks for doing this. Enjoy the game on Sunday night, and we'll talk to you down the road. Keep up the good work.
All righty. Yeah, sounds good. And I hope to have you guys on again so we can be back on the show.
That would be awesome. Hall of Famer, right. Tony Dungy. Right. Really appreciate him joining us. And, of course, Sunday Night Football, NBC, Titans and Rams. How good is he?
That's awesome.
Oh, that was fun.
I didn't see, like, the Munster's hand. I didn't see that.
I
missed that.
I was at a baseball
stadium.
Yeah,
so. It was Halloween. Yeah, I guess it was, yeah. You were wrapped up, and it was Halloween, so I missed that one.
It's World Series, man. It's focused on the.
It's focused on the.
Chase
Bravos.
Was going for the title. He was going for the title.
Well, right, but
hey, they won. By the way, they Atlanta Braves are the World Series.
They're
champions.
The champions.
Yeah. Did they win?
They did.
Oh, it's over.
There's a parade.
There wasn't a game seven last night.
There was not. I told you there wasn't going to be.
No.
But
well, thank you for that, by the way.
You're welcome.
I forgot to thank you, but on air. But yeah,
that was awesome with Coach. I mean, I guess you guys have talked to him several times before.
Oh, yeah.
But that was my first time speaking.
By the way,
him,
he hasn't changed. He's the same every time. That's how you know somebody's really classy. I mean, same approach every time we've talked to him, whether it was just now, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Willie, right? 15 years ago,
oh, yeah.
same interview. He's fantastic.
Oh, same yeah. Guy. I think he has a unique ability to talk football and really give you some nuggets without getting too caught up in the terms and like fancy defensive coordinator talk. He's able to put it in terms that, you know, people like us can understand. Does that make sense? Don't you think, like, I love how he talked about being a receiver on the Titans when Derrick Henry's back there. I don't have to read coverage. I just have to beat my man. I love how he puts it in that. But I think, you know, we hit on some tremendous things that are going on really in both locker rooms in the preparation for this game. That's the one thing that Todd Downing may have going for him this week. He's got a little bit of the element of surprise. The Rams really are going to have to guess on what they're going to try to do. Like, are they going to try to give the ball to Adrian Peterson 12 to 15 times, as you heard Tony speculate, and just try to run the same basic offense and see what you get? Or do you just come out with something completely different and just say, you know what, we got to see what we've got with the other pieces of this offense and see if we can surprise them a little bit? They don't know what's coming.
Well, Titans offensive coordinator Todd Downing is speaking right now, and you can imagine one of the first questions he was asked, because my Twitter timeline, literally everyone there, it was the same thing. Downing on Adrian Peterson in a video. So you know he's being asked about that. But I think the big thing is going to be just getting into this game and seeing what you have, whether Peterson's going to be able to go or not. We'll find out. But I know he was out there yesterday. He will be out there again today. But I thought what Tony Dungy said, you know, of you just have to keep playing your offense, and Tannehill's going to have to go to another level, and that's something that we've been saying.
We will come back. Our new installment of our top 10, week 9 NFL top 10. It's hard. I'll just tell you right now, guys, it was hard trying to figure out. There's things in play that affected my rankings. We'll come back and do that on the other side as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.